Now, if you have your Bibles with you, I would ask you to turn to the book of Galatians. I have one verse to read to you in the book of Galatians, and that'll be sufficient for us. That'll be sufficient for us tonight for what we'll try to cover. There's more places in the Scriptures I will go, but this will be all we'll need for a text. In Galatians, in chapter 6, it's the last chapter of Galatians. And as you find your place there, Galatians is a small book, I realize that, but as you find your place there, if you'll rise, we'll stand together for the reading of the Word.
Amen.
In Galatians chapter 6, and I will simply read verse 7. Verse 7, a very familiar verse. And
yes.
We read here, Paul is writing to this church here in Galatia. It says, "Be not deceived.
That's right.
God is not mocked.
Amen.
For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And Lord, this evening, I pray that You would be with us all. I thank You, Lord, for laying these things upon my heart. And now, Lord, I ask You to help me to deliver them, Lord, faithfully. I ask You, Lord, that I not interfere with Your delivery, Lord, that I not have my flesh in the way. I pray You, Lord, please hide me in You. Lord, I pray You, Lord, please let Your Spirit touch me and these that are here. Lord, me for the preaching of this that You've laid upon my heart. And for all of us, Lord, the hearing and the understanding. Lord, help us, Lord, those who are saved to grow closer to You. Those who are here, if there's any here who are not saved, Lord, that You would open their eyes, Lord, and let them understand their need, Lord, their desperate need. We ask You, Lord, to work Your work tonight. Work it in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Work it in our lives, Lord. Work Your will, Lord, whatever it may be, to help us, to correct us, to encourage us, whatsoever it might be, Lord. Please work it in us tonight. We ask You this, Lord Jesus, having no other place to ask and no other hope. Lord, we turn to You and ask You, Lord, of Your mercy, of Your favor, of Your goodness, and of Your grace. Please help us tonight. We ask it in Your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I've heard this verse all my life, usually paraphrased. You'll reap what you sow, is usually said. And that's true. And it's taken, that truth is taken from this verse.
That's right.
And so there's a few things I would like to go into concerning the harvest. The harvest. Because we've preached all this week, if you will, about the process.
Yeah.
The process of getting new life from old ground. We said that's what the revival was. We're seeking, was getting new life.
Man.
From old ground. Whether a person saved or lost, they need new life from old ground. This is the old ground, our bodies.
Indeed.
Of course, one who's not saved, never having experienced life, last knew life while we were in Adam. And that's beyond the human memory. But now being spiritually dead needs new life from this old ground or within this old ground. And those of us who are saved still continually need always to have a refreshing, to have a refilling, to have more life on the old fallow ground where once life was. We need to be revived and awakened. And so we've been looking for new life from the old ground. And so we've talked of breaking up the fallow ground, and we covered how that we sowed, not among the thorns, but on the good ground. And so we went into this, and then we went in last night into the tending of the garden, if you will, the dressing and the keeping, because that's where the work is. And so last night was the work night. And so we went from breaking up the ground and sowing the seed and dressing and keeping this. And finally, we get to the harvest.
Amen.
The harvest. Tonight is the night of the harvest. You know, as we drove today, we were driving down the road and we saw the fields, acres and acres and acres. Major farms out there planted in corn and cotton primarily in the areas where we saw. Now, my family never was that kind of farming family. We had a last sharecropper in my family died when I was a boy. There were some sharecroppers back there, but there was never none of the several hundred acre farmers, those big farms. But it doesn't matter whether somebody plants a small garden patch or whether they plant 500 acres.
That's right.
Regardless of how much they plant, they're all looking forward to the harvest.
Amen.
And no matter what it is that God has planted in your heart, what your hope is the harvest.
That's right.
And so we're going to cover this tonight, if I can. I realize that now the Lord's helped me through this week with my voice. I thank God for that. I still need help this evening. But if I can, I'd like to cover this thing from two different perspectives. Two different perspectives. Because there's two harvests.
Yes.
You see, there's a resurrection of the just, and there's a resurrection of the unjust.
That's right.
And there's those who are lost and undone and without God at the end of this time before the white throne of God, and where a book is opened up and they are judged by their deeds, having nothing else to be judged by. And there's a judgment seat of Christ where we must all give account. And so there's two harvests then, and I would, if I can, try to preach of them both tonight. Because it says here, in what we read here, whatsoever a man soweth. Now, that means a couple of things. First off, it means everything you sow.
That's right.
Whatsoever a man soweth means everything you sow. There's no sense in praying God for crop failure. If you've done wrong, there is a harvest. There is something that's going to happen from that seed that was planted. Whatever it is, it will grow into something. It's a law. It's the law of sowing and reaping.
Right.
Whatever we've done will grow. There will be a harvest.
Yes.
That gives me pause, by the way. As a matter of fact, when I think of myself before Christ on that judgment day,
right.
I'm not talking about your judgment. I'm talking about mine.
Come on.
It makes me sometimes find a place in my house and go off to myself and say, God, have mercy on me in that day.
Yes.
And you say, what, are you trying to get saved again? No, I know I'm saved.
Amen.
But I know me. Do you understand? I know me. I know where I've been and what I've done, and I know the things that I've allowed to stay in my mind. Not the things that crossed my mind, the things I allowed to stay in my mind. And I look at that, and I look at me, and I think of this thing and this law of sowing and reaping, and how that we must have a harvest. And I go somewhere and I say, Lord God, please have mercy on me in that day.
Amen.
It's a common prayer of mine.
Well, sure. Yes, sir.
Common prayer.
Amen.
I've told you before, and I tell you again, I take all my theology in light of the judgment. As I came in here and I went to go get my guitar in tune, I don't just do that to get my guitar in tune. I walk off to where that God can get me in tune.
Amen.
And as I walked back there with my guitar and started asking the Lord to help me tonight, I walked into a Sunday school room and I looked out the window and I saw the cemetery behind me.
Right.
And as I saw the cemetery and looked across the road, I could feel the Lord helping me.
Yeah.
And having me look out, and I thought every stone out there, under every stone there's a person, there's an actual body.
Amen.
There's an actual body.
Yeah.
And that body, though it's not inhabited, was once inhabited by an actual person.
That's right.
Now, I know that there's no time in eternity, but I don't know how all this works, you know. I don't know that we stand in line for our moment to be judged. I don't know if we're judged here and there. I don't know how it works, because there's no time. And people make timelines and graphs. It makes no sense to me. There's no time in eternity. But I know this. I know this. Every person back there has their judgment.
Oh, yeah.
And that testifies to me that I will have mine.
That's right.
And what I'm trying to get to you is this testimony to you that you will have yours.
Oh, yes, sir.
And that whatever we sow, we reap.
That's right.
Now, we spoke of all the planting and the sowing, but now we're looking at the harvest. Now, because it says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We come to the first law of the harvest, and that is that we reap like we sow. We reap like we sow. I planted a garden this year, and at the end of this year, I will not get any watermelons. I didn't plant any. Now I've got a pea patch planted, and if I'll tend my garden well, and if the Lord will pour His rain down and the sunshine in a few seasons, I look forward with hope to getting peas.
Amen.
Because I might not be smart, but I know that I've got to plant what I want if I'm going to get what I want.
That's right.
You know, even somebody not I'm just old dummy from Alabama knows that you got to plant what you want to get. And we find this in Genesis. And I spoke to you last night of everlasting principles that are found in the book of Genesis, and particularly in the first three chapters. I will show you in the first chapter of Genesis this everlasting, eternal principle that is here about like begets like.
Right.
Like begets like. I'm going to have to try to stretch my voice out. Like begets like in Genesis chapter 1. We find in verse 11, it says, "And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind."
That's right.
It doesn't say it evolved into another kind.
No,
it said after his kind.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, whose seed is in itself? Verse 12, it says after his kind. Verse 21, it says after their kind. And after his kind.
Yep.
Verse 24 says after his kind. Verse 25, after his kind.
Yep.
You see, this law is established early on. Like begets like.
Amen.
And that means if you have a history in your family of your family being drunkards, then you need to guard against that in your children. You understand me? It like begets like. I don't say they have to be drunkards, but they have to fight against that disposition.
That's right.
You understand?
Yeah.
And if you have, thank God, you have a godly family, then that heritage should be a help to your children.
Yes.
Now, that don't automatically make them saved either. But it means that it should be a help to your children. See, like begets like. Now, we find some things from this, of course. Oh, boy, it's going to be probably a short night. You hear my voice. I'm going to try to make it through this. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 6, and this is what I'm trying to get to out of this principle. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and this goes contrary to the world's wisdom and a lot of church doctrine, which you're going to hear in different places. In chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul is trying to set something straight in the church. And he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not," everybody see that? "Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived." You know, it must be possible to be deceived. You know what's the worst thing about being deceived? You don't know you're deceived.
Right.
If you did, you wouldn't be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be possible to sit on a church pew somewhere and fail to understand this truth that Paul's trying to get across.
Right.
He says, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate," that's homosexuals,
that's right,
"nor abusers of themselves or mankind," that's a particular kind of homosexual, "nor thieves," how about that?
That's right.
How about that?
Come on.
You ever took an hour off on the clock?
Uh-oh.
Thief?
Uh-oh.
I lost my place. "Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God."
That's right.
You know what he's saying here? He's saying you can't walk toward hell and get to heaven.
Amen.
He's saying that saying I was saved when I was 4 years old while you're sitting on a bar stool either makes you a liar or God a liar, one or the other.
Come on.
He's saying you'll reap what you sow.
Oh, yeah.
He says it's a law and ain't no sense being deceived about it.
No,
matter of fact, the scripture in another place says, "As a man thinketh in his heart,
right,
so is he." Now, what's that saying? It says, the way you are, the way you act, What you do and what you say reflects what is in your heart. You say, nobody can judge me. They don't have to. You're judging yourself with everything you say and do. And you're broadcasting it in front of everybody.
That's right.
It's not other people judging you. It's you judging you. And showing everybody.
Exactly. That's good.
And we do reap what we sow. The first thing I tell you is we reap like we sow. But there's three other laws that I've got to cover here. And the second one is, we reap later than we sow. Now listen, I've planted a few gardens, and I've never planted a garden and went out. I never planted my mater plants and went right back to the first row and picked the maters on the same day.
Oh, no.
You don't go out and plant potato rye, and as soon as you plant them, don't even bother covering them up. Just go dig them out. It don't work that way. The harvest comes later than the planting. And it comes after you sow. Does this make sense to y'all? I know it does. Well, we have this thing in us where because we do something and nothing happens, we think we got away with it. You know what we're doing? We're ignoring this law that the harvest comes after we sow it, not when we sow it. And it comes, and as a matter of fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, full of wisdom, spoke to this in chapter 8 of the book of Ecclesiastes. I'll read, if I can, three verses from verse 11 and verse 13. And mark this one, by the way. Parents, try to teach your children this principle. It'll help them. And by the way, it'll help you as a parent. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. You know what that means? Because we don't get our tail feathers tore up as soon as we do something wrong. And we don't always, by the way. That's not just for children. We don't always. Because of that, it says, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It says, because we're so foolish, we think we got away with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ain't never got away with nothing.
No, sir.
Nothing.
Uh-uh.
It says, we'll give an account for every deed done in the body, whether good or bad.
That's right.
It says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, in other words, it looks like he got away with it.
Yeah.
Yet surely I know that it shall be well with him that fear God, which fear before him.
Yeah.
And it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. It says you're not getting away with it. And that's what he said.
Exactly.
You will reap.
Amen.
You will reap.
Yes, sir.
And there is going to be a day when whatever you've said and whatever you've done, you'll give an account for.
That's right.
Come nighttime, chickens come home to roost.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to come home. You know, this world thinks that things get took care of in this world. They say, you know, when something bad happens to somebody, they'll say, well, that's karma. First off, that's a word from a foreign religion.
Right.
And it's got no business in our mouths. Ain't no such thing as karma.
No,
something bad happening to you may or may not be the result of something you did. It could be, but it might not be. It wasn't for Job.
Right.
So it may be or it may not be.
Amen.
But I will tell you this. Whatever you did that was evil, there will be a payback for. Now, some men's sins will be judged before. Sometimes it'll happen in this life.
Yeah.
But it might not.
Right.
And that don't mean that you get away with it.
No, sir.
It means there's an accounting on the other side. But I've got good news for you. And that means that whatever you do good on this side, there's also a reward for that.
That's right.
Because, you know, we can plant more than one kind of crop. We can plant a crop of weeds and of thorns, or we can plant a crop that will bring forth fruit and peace and righteousness.
Yeah.
And we can. And we can plant either crop. You know, training up a child is a crop that brings forth a fruit later on as well.
That's right.
And training up a child, by the way, and let me bring this out while I'm here, is different from raising up a child.
Yeah.
There's no promise given in the Bible for raising up a child. No. It says train up a child.
That's right.
Now, I've heard recently someone go into this. I like it.
Yeah.
You know, has anybody here ever trained an animal? It's different from raising one, ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
If you want to raise one, all you got to do is feed it.
Oh, sure.
And you can raise a child by feeding them and let free range children let them run do whatever they please.
Right.
But that child's not been trained.
No, sir.
Training means that there's restraints.
Exactly.
It means that there's a way that something is trained to go and to not go, and that means that there's forcible restraints.
Amen.
But if you train a child, and by the way, if you do, I commend you.
Amen.
I commend you.
Yes, sir.
If you do, I want you to have encouragement that though it's difficult now, and though this world now tries to call you foolish for doing the right thing, that there is a payback for that too.
Amen.
That you will reap what you sow is not always such an evil thing to hear.
Right.
It can be an encouraging thing to hear.
Amen.
Because if what you're doing is sowing in the heart of that child the ways of God and the things of God, and if you're doing your best to train that child, restrain them from the evil ways and bring them up in the ways of God, understand that it's a law that you'll reap what you sow.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And you can have courage in that. For I told you, I'm trying to preach to two different ends tonight.
Amen.
On the one hand, I want to warn.
Oh, yes.
On the other hand, I want to encourage.
Amen.
You know, Adam's death is a good example of a warning. He was told that the day that he would eat of it, he would surely die.
Oh, yes, sir.
Spiritually, he did.
That's right.
But you know, his natural death happened some 900-something years later.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a long time, ain't it?
Oh, yes.
Not really.
Well, not
when you're talking eternity.
That's right. Yeah.
The law's there. And he reaped death.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And he reaped death.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I said was you reap like you sow. Second one I said you reap later than you sow. I know I have to move on. I feel my voice. And so I'm going to move on. Third, I would tell you, you reap larger than you sow. I'm going to tell you, I go out and sow two rows of okra with about that much seed. And got plenty left over to throw in the ditch and to overplant with.
Oh, yeah.
If all I was going to get back was that much okra, I wouldn't bother.
Oh, no.
I go out with a little $1 bag.
Oh, yeah.
A turnip seed.
Come on.
And I can sow more turnip greens than me and my wife can eat in the winter and give away.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If all I was going to do was get back a wad of turnip greens that big, I wouldn't bother.
No.
And you wouldn't either.
That's right.
Yeah. You reap larger.
Amen.
Than you sow.
Exactly.
I want to tell you, this works both ways too.
Amen.
You know, David, when he desired Bathsheba.
Right.
He thought, I'm sure he thought just one time. Just this once. And I'll bring something out to you again that another man I heard bring out, and it's true. It's very rare to find a man who sinned in a sin one time.
Right.
Very rare.
Amen.
I'm not saying it never happens. But for most, if you make that exception one time, you'll go back and do it again.
Amen.
Because having fallen once, it's easier to fall a second time.
Why, sure.
Go around and ask how many people have drank one beer.
Yeah.
It's a rare thing to find. You will find them, but it's rare.
Yeah.
You'll find them that haven't drank, and you'll find them that drank many beers, but there's not too many to find that drank one. Find somebody who failed in their purity one time before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You won't find that much. Either they didn't,
right,
or they did.
Amen.
So you don't find many one-timers. And David may have said this one time, but this one time led to a problem.
Oh, yes.
And it led to a problem that caused him to try to cover his tracks. And in so doing, he had a man killed.
That's right.
And you know what he reaped for it? And I could read you. I have the verses marked, but I'm not going to. You know the story. Because one man died, he lost four sons.
Yes.
Four. He lost that child.
Uh-huh.
He lost Absalom.
Yep.
He lost Adonijah. He lost, and I forget his name already, be all four sons. There was one wife of Uriah's that he committed adultery with.
That's right.
But many of his wives were taken out in the sight of all Israel. And Absalom took them.
Yeah.
Many of them.
That's right. Yeah.
He betrayed one man.
Come on.
His two closest to him betrayed him. Absalom betrayed him, and Ahithophel betrayed him. Ahithophel, by the way, was the father of one of his mighty men, who was the father, by the way, of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the granddaughter of Ahithophel. And so you know, he had to fill his heart with joy and pride when Bathsheba walked down the aisle, if they did such a thing, with Uriah. And then for David, of all people, who was his best friend,
yeah,
to destroy his trust, have his son-in-law killed, and shame his granddaughter like that.
Right.
I believe that a germ of bitterness grew in Ahithophel.
Amen.
And there's a reason why Ahithophel betrayed him when Absalom came along.
That's right.
But there's David now, having sown that seed himself,
yep,
reaping two bitter betrayals.
Amen.
You reap larger than you sow. Larger than you sow. And what David tried to do in private became public. I can point out to you just simply Abraham and give you both. I'll give you Ishmael since we're on that.
Right.
You know, he went down to Egypt being afraid and not trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
But he came back. Wasn't he forgiven? Sure he was forgiven. Sure he was. He was forgiven. But while he's down there, he picked up an Egyptian handmaid, Hagar.
That's right.
And from that Egyptian handmaid, he ended up having a half-Egyptian son,
right,
Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
And Ishmael, even after he finally cast out the bondwoman and his son, Ishmael brought forth much fruit.
Oh yeah.
We're still paying for Ishmael.
Amen.
Yeah. You always reap larger.
Yeah.
Then you sow.
Yes.
But can I tell you on the other side of things that he also had a son named Isaac?
That's right.
And where he was blessed with one son because of his faithfulness, we're still being blessed from that faithfulness.
Yes. Amen.
So you reap what you sow will apply to your Ishmael, but it'll also apply to your Isaac.
That's right.
And you reap larger than you sow, whether you sow in disobedience and in distrust and in doubt, or whether you sow in faith and in faithfulness,
right,
you'll reap larger than what you sow. I'm trying to get you to look at your harvest tonight. It's what I'm trying to do. It's about time to look at our fruit.
Yeah.
And you see that you reap like you sow,
yeah,
but you reap later than you sow. You reap larger than you sow. I'm moving on faster than I wanted to, but I have to tonight. I hope you understand. Last night was a work night. Tonight's going to be short. And you reap longer than you sow.
Oh, yeah.
My garden's planted in 1 to 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
1 to 2 days.
Right.
Depending on what I'm doing. The pea picking time runs a long time, and okra grows all the way to frost.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
You reap a lot longer than you sow.
That's right.
A lot longer than you sow. And so it is with what we sow on this earth. We reap a lot longer than what we sow. I told you of Isaac and Ishmael, and surely in how long you see that they sow. But now I want to look to the two harvests that I mentioned. I'm not going to go long tonight, brother. There's an eternal harvest coming.
Oh, yeah.
An eternal harvest coming. And we will sow for one lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sowing now.
That's right.
Every day you're sowing. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, you're casting out what you will reap.
That's right.
For all of eternity.
Right.
Whatever you say to anybody, you will answer for.
That's right.
For all of eternity.
Amen.
Eternity is only one day long or one night long, depending on where you go.
That's right.
In one place, it's day.
Yeah.
And there'll never be a night.
That's right.
For the Son of God Himself is the light.
Yeah.
Yes. And there is no night in that eternal day.
That's right.
But in the other, it's eternal night.
That's right.
And there never will be a day.
Man.
You know, when the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, when he looked over and said, "Father Abraham, tell Lazarus to come over and give me one drop of water on my tongue."
Yeah.
I tell you, he wasn't looking for water.
Mm.
He was looking for hope.
Because
if he could get one drop of water, there'd be hope. But if it took 100 years or 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years, there might be another mercy.
Yeah.
And if he had one mercy, it might grow into another mercy. And maybe there'd be hope he could get out of this eternal burning hell. But there is no hope.
No, sir.
In that land.
No.
All hope is in the other land.
Amen.
All hope is in that heavenly land.
That's right.
And those of us who are born again, born of the Spirit, born from above.
Yeah.
See, we've been planted into the heavenly kingdom by the heavenly Father, by the seed of the Word of God.
Amen.
And we have been tended and tilled by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so we grow up as the fruit of the garden of God into His everlasting kingdom, and we'll be gathered up where there is no night, where there's never anything that's going to cause us any discomfort, any kind. Once we're through this life into the heavenly kingdom, it's hallelujah forever.
Amen. Amen.
But should you in this life refuse,
God forbid,
refuse Jesus Christ? I told you the song I sang was on my mind because of this tonight. How can you refuse
Him? That's right.
Now.
Yeah.
Should you in this life, and by the way, you don't know how long your life is.
No, sir.
As I looked at that graveyard, mostly the graves are dug the same length.
Oh, well.
But I've looked around in many an old graveyard,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see an awful lot of short graves.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Everybody doesn't grow all the way up.
Mm.
And those that do grow all the way up, you still don't know how long they live.
That's right.
And I went through a lot of gravestones.
Come on.
See, I do a little part-time work at a funeral home.
Mm.
I've stood around a lot of them and looked and said, "My, they were young when they died."
Oh, yeah.
"He was younger than me now."
Mm.
"She's younger than me now."
Oh, yeah.
I've looked at many, many an individual in the graveyard who died younger than me.
Oh, yeah.
So how long am I going to live?
Right.
I don't know.
Exactly.
And how long are you going to live? I don't know. Should I be able to come out here again? Will I see you?
Right.
I don't know.
Amen. Amen.
But should you in this life, the one life you have, refuse Jesus Christ? The cost is eternal.
Amen.
It's not oops.
No. No.
It's not oh well.
No.
It's not I missed.
Mm-mm.
It's not something that you can get a reset on.
No, sir.
You don't just unplug the game and start back over. It's not a game.
No, sir. No.
It's over forever.
That's right.
And there will never be any coming back.
No.
There is a harvest.
Come on.
One day.
Amen.
I'm almost done. Told you tonight was going to be very, very short. I call to you, to your minds and to your hearts, that you would examine yourself. And I ask you, are you satisfied with your harvest? Are you satisfied that you're sowing the right seed? When you stand that day in front of Jesus Christ,
come on.
When you stand that day in front of the throne, you're not going to be gazing around.
No, sir. No.
I believe it's going to be terror for all of us, saved and unsaved.
That's right.
To stand in front of the presence of God has brought every saint of God in the Bible.
Come on.
Every saint of God in the Bible who stood in the presence of God Almighty fell on their face.
Yes, sir.
Every one of them fell on their face.
Yes.
I believe we will too.
Abraham.
On that day,
yeah.
Do you have faith in your harvest? Would you like to change your harvest? Would you like to change what you're sowing now? Would you like to sow into life eternal?
Yeah.
Now I'll ask you this.
No.
Saints of God, are you sowing sparingly? Mm. Have you cast out only a few seeds? Because he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there more you can do? Is there more you can say?
Always.
Do you have a neighbor who doesn't know Jesus Christ?
Right.
Does your family know your testimony?
Yeah.
Do they know about the day you were saved? When's the last time you told that? When's the last time you told your salvation testimony in church?
Yeah.
I remember hearing so many salvation testimonies growing up from the saints of God, from church pews, standing up and thanking God for the day they were saved and then testifying about it. When's the last time you did that?
Right.
Are you sowing sparingly? That's what I'm asking you.
Right.
Wouldn't you like to reap bountifully forever?
Amen.
It's forever, y'all. It's not for next month.
That's
it's forever.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to have a good harvest?
Yes.
A bountiful harvest.
Right.
On that day.
Yes, indeed.
I'm about to turn it over to you, Pastor. Mm. And open up the altars. Because I have nothing else I can do. It's on you.
Amen.
If you... First, I'll tell you this. If you're afraid of your harvest, if you've never believed on Jesus Christ, if you've never been saved,
yeah.
I'll tell you, I cannot tell you what to pray, and I will not.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is between God
Amen.
And an individual.
That's right.
Whether they're old or young, male or female, nobody can do that for you.
That's right.
If you feel the Spirit of God calling you, that is the time to go.
Amen.
If you don't know what to pray, ask Him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't call you if He wasn't interested.
Amen.
If He's not calling you, don't play games with God.
No, sir.
And don't play games with salvation.
Oh, no.
And don't expect somebody to walk you through so that you can get pronounced saved. It doesn't work that way. It's not a game.
That's right.
But if God calls you, answer Him. Go to Him. He'll tell you. He'll help you.
Amen.
And I believe Him and He'll save you.
Well, sure. Yes, sir.
If you are saved, I tell you, fill your hands with seed.
Right.
And so bountifully.
Amen.
Don't hold it in your hands.
No.
Cast it.
That's right. That's right.
And if you're afraid of your pitiful harvest, and that's how I see mine, I would tell you to pray what I pray.
Oh, yes.
Help me, Lord.
Indeed.
To get my hands full
Amen.
Of seed
right.
and cast. And then search your opportunities.
Amen.
And go and see so bountifully. Brother Scott, I'm going to turn it over to you this evening. I have nothing to add. It's simply a night to examine yourself. And I would pray you this. Don't be ashamed to come to an altar.
That's right.
Please don't be. This is eternal, people. Get over your pride.
Yeah.
Come to an altar. An altar. Step out from your pew
yeah.
and come to an altar. And tell God what you need.
Yeah.
Tell the Lord Jesus Christ what help you need.
Right.
And I trust Him that He'll do it for you.
Amen.
Brother Scott.